Thanksgiving. Did you have a good week? All right, this is the way my week went, because it has been quite a week. Went to Jacksonville to the Mayo Clinic, because I have, you know, that cancer on my kidney. Went in, saw them. They're going to be able to do surgery 2 weeks from tomorrow. Complete cure is expected. It could be a little painful, but who knows? You know, it's all right. I'm a big baby, but I'll milk it for all the sympathy I can, and it will be a complete cure. All right, so up and down. Then went to see Rosie, who was at the hospital because her blood pressure was a little high. Rosie is supposed to give birth on Christmas Day this year, and she has preeclampsia. That means she has to stay at the hospital. They're watching her like a hawk. Her three-year-old, my greatest grandbaby in the world, Harvey, became ours to care for, and so we ran after him. He ran after us the whole rest of the week, which was great, and she's okay. Her blood pressure and everything, it's still high, all that, but, you know, she will give birth, if everything goes well, on Wednesday. They'll induce. It'll be at the end of the, I guess it's at term, you know. These are a lot of things I don't know much about, but those of you who have actually given birth, you know what I'm talking about. So up and down and up and down. And then I came home and I got a phone call from my son, who was in the emergency room with chest pain, and found out after a lot of tests that he'd had a heart attack a couple of years ago. Now, they didn't know it. It didn't leave a lot of damage or anything like that, but there was something there. So they let him go home, which was good, because when he was at home, he got a phone call from Jacksonville, and my father-in-law had disappeared. He got in a car. He's 92 years old, started driving to get his hair cut, and they couldn't find him. Now, at about 1:30 in the morning, they found him. He was in Hinesville, Georgia. Nobody goes to Hinesville, Georgia. But they drove over, they got him, he was perfectly fine, he was safe. They, of course, pulled his driver's license and took his keys and everything like that. So, you know, there's a lot of things that that entails. And so, anyway, that's my week. I showed up here today and I was like, if anything goes wrong, it's going to be up. It's going to be going uphill. It's great. But do you see how everything turned out okay? Everything, every opportunity that was a great concern. And my in-laws and all that part of the family, their assumption was that he had been robbed and they'd taken his car. And I said, why do you go there? There's no reason to think that he got robbed. I promise you, he's in the car driving. He doesn't know where he is. And he's going to keep driving until he either runs out of gas, runs out of money, or somebody notices that he's disoriented. And that's exactly what happened. The police came. They took care of him and asked him, you know, how are you doing? He said, the policeman was very nice. Thank you, policeman. I mean, seriously, this could have been so different. So I had this week of, and all of it, I'm thankful for. None of it would I trade. I don't want, you know, any of that to turn bad. But my son found out that he has to take better care of himself. And Rosie's in a great place. And they're going to be able to take care of this thing on my kidney. And they found Papa. And all of it. So what are you thankful for? Now, many of you may have seen on television, I'm very disappointed you don't know who Bloom County is, but do anybody here know who Charlie Brown is? All right. Whew, okay, cultural thing going there. In the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, I love the Charlie Brown Christmas, but Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, it's a story of the season starting out in a precarious fashion, as, you know, all Charlie Brown movies are. And in the spirit of Christmas, Lucy promises that she will hold the football this time. This opening of it, we're going to hold it for you in the spirit of Thanksgiving. And, of course, Charlie Brown goes, takes a run at it, and she pulls it out. He falls on his back. I mean, that's a typical thing. But his Thanksgiving gets even worse when he gets a phone call from Peppermint Patty, his sort of girlfriend. She's very sweet on him. He's not so much with her. But anyway, she invites herself over to his house for Thanksgiving. Even though Charlie Brown was looking forward to having dinner with his family at his grandmother's house, Peppermint Patty is going to come, and she expects dinner with Charlie Brown. And so she invites all their friends, too. And as the scene goes on, and the movie goes on, and the show goes on, it's very clear Charlie Brown doesn't know how to cook a turkey, but Peppermint Patty is expecting that. And so when they show up, there's a sumptuous meal of buttered toast, sliced fruit, and popcorn. Thank you. Yes. And Peppermint Patty is, of course, understanding. No, she's furious. She says, I had looked forward to turkey and pumpkin pie and dressing, and Charlie Brown has ruined Thanksgiving. But Peppermint Patty's mousy little friend, Marcy, saves the day. Marcy remembers that Thanksgiving is not about eating turkey, but about gathering friends together and being thankful for all the blessings of life. And in the end, Peppermint Patty mellows out, Charlie's reputation is restored, and Grandma, God bless her, saves the day by inviting all the children over to her house for Thanksgiving. What a great story. I am thankful. I'm thankful today. I'm thankful that the mess to clean up after a party, because it means that I've been surrounded by friends. I'm thankful that the taxes I pay for the taxes I pay, because it means that I have a job. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means I have enough to eat. I'm thankful that my shadow watches my work, because it means I'm out in the sunshine sometimes. I'm thankful that a lawn that needs to be mowed, windows that need to be cleaned, gutters that need to be fixed, because it means I have a place to live. I have a house. I'm thankful for the spot that I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means that I am capable of walking. I'm thankful for all the complaining that I hear about our government, because it means we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill that's going to be coming this year, because we're going to have a wonderful, cool Christmas, aren't we? Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to it, because you know what it means? We're warm. I'm thankful for the weariness and the aching muscles at the end of a day, because it means that I have done something productive. And I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours, because it means I'm alive. I mean, I'm thankful. What are you thankful for? Someone once told me that in parts of Mexico, there are hot springs and cold springs, and they're right close to each other. And a group of tourists went to see this. The locals will take their clothes, and in the hot spring, I mean, it is really hot, they can wash their clothes in it, and then they put them into the cold spring to rinse it all off and everything. And the tourist was talking to the guide and said, well, gosh, people must be really happy about that. Must be give thanks that God has provided for hot and cold right here together for them. And he said, no, senor, they're not thankful, because God did not provide soap. Yeah. So what are you thankful for? It is hard for us humans to be satisfied, isn't it? Surrounded by so much stuff. Anonymous author once wrote this wonderful piece describing the irony of our time. Listen to what they wrote. The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses but smaller families. More conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less common sense. More knowledge but less judgment. More experts but more problems. More medicines but less wellness. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We have learned to make a living, but not a life. We've added years to life, but not life to our years. So what are you thankful for? Have you ever made a list of those things? When I was growing up, one of the big things that we were required to do, this is my mom's sneaky way of keeping us out of the kitchen, is that we would be required to write a prayer. And we would pray that prayer at the beginning of the dinner. You go in your room, go write your prayer, all the things you're thankful for. And we did this. It was a great discipline. Have you done that? Irma Bombeck wrote, an estimated 1.5 million people are living today after a fight with breast cancer. Every time I forget to feel grateful to be one of those, I hear the voice of an 8-year-old named Christina who had cancer of the nervous system. And when she was asked what she wanted for her birthday, she thought long and hard and finally said, I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything. She said, the kid is right. Henry Ward Beecher, a famous preacher of another day, once had this to say about us being thankful, quote, if one should give me a dish of sand and tell me there are particles of iron in it, I might look for them with my eyes and search for them with my clumsy fingers and be unable to detect them. But let me take a magnet and sweep it through, and now it would draw to itself the most invisible particles by the mere power of attraction. The unthankful heart, like my fingers in the sand, discover no mercies. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day as the magnet finds the iron, and it will find in every hour some heavenly blessing. Only the iron in God's sand is gold. Now today I want you to imagine using that magnet of thanksgiving to sweep through your life and let it pick up all of God's gold in the sand of your existence. When we make a sweep like that, we will find so many unexpected things for which we can be thankful. For health and security and family and friends and work and play, a community and a culture, all these things. And they're obvious things that we can be grateful for in life. Now, we're all different and we all have distinctive things and people for whom we're thankful. These are God's gold, which we will find in our lives if we only have the wisdom to look for it. I found a wonderful story about a man named Harry who had a wife and two kids, and he worked in a local factory. He bowled on Tuesday nights. He went to church with the family on Sundays. A really solid family experience. But something inside of him yearned for more. And then Uncle Elmo came to visit. And Uncle Elmo was a character. He'd been a sailor his whole life. He traveled all around the world. He was merchant marines during the war. And then just basically spent his time wandering around the world. The kids loved him. They loved to hear his stories about the sea in particular. And he would just regale them with all kinds of great stories. But Harry was not above delighting in the tales. But he also, as Elmo would end his stories, he had an assurance that he had a map. And that map led to the greatest treasure in the world. Well, I'll tell you that Harry thought this was a great idea to take a look for that map someday. And as it would, Uncle Elmo passed away. And after everything had been done and they'd honor him and they put him in the ground and all those things, Harry thought about, well, maybe it's time. And he went into Uncle Elmo's room and he dug through the stuff that was there and he found a small box. And he opened it up and there in the box was the treasure map. He unfolded it and he's looking at it with a lot of anticipation. And it was a map with his house circled and an arrow going to it. The greatest treasure in Uncle Elmo's life was Harry and Harry's family. He found that that was the greatest treasure. So what are you thankful for? Where is your greatest treasure? I mean, this past week, how many of you ate turkey? I didn't get any turkey. I had to cook it myself. We did ham because we didn't go. You know, you can buy Thanksgiving food on Thanksgiving Day. I've never done that in my life, but it was such a topsy-turvy week, and we didn't know if we were going to be able to eat it. So I went to Walmart early on Thanksgiving morning. Yeah, me and the cashier, we had a great talk. It was great. You know, she was very sweet, and I said, thank you for being here. She said, oh, listen, I've already done all the Thanksgiving stuff. We're going to eat this afternoon. I just get to get out of the house while they clean up the mess. I'm like, that's not a bad thing. But we give thanks, don't we? And we give thanks for good things, and we eat, and we bow our heads and give thanks for the bounty that God has given to us, and all of the food and the shelter and the general well-being. We thank God for the families and the friends that gather around us, but we also remember to give thanks for one thing, and that is our togetherness. Not just the togetherness that we share with relatives, but the together that we share in this church, caring for, supporting each other, demonstrating the light of God in our lives and the mission and the ministry that we share here. And then we give thanks for the togetherness that we have with all humanity. Today, as we gather around this table, this is another Thanksgiving meal. It is not something that you do by yourself. There is no such thing as a personal Thanksgiving. I mean, a personal communion. It just doesn't work that way. An anthropologist, a man whose life he spent the study of human social and cultural development, he died, went up to the pearly gates. You know these wonderful stories, right? Everybody goes to the pearly gates. Yeah. I don't know who left this here, but I hope I just opened it. It's okay. I'm not worried. Anyway, he's standing there, and St. Peter is saying, come on in, no problem. And the man said, but I'm a scientist. I really need to do a little more research. Do you mind if I go downstairs first and check out what goes down, you know, in hell first? And St. Peter said, no problem. Go ahead and just come on back when you're done. So the man goes down into hell and he walks in and they open up the doors and there he sees a banquet table full of food, everything you can imagine. It looks great. It smells great. It's the garlic and Norwood's put together. It is absolutely fabulous. But all the people sitting around the table have these peculiar things on their arms. They're like wooden splints, and they're like cadavers. They're starving to death. And they're looking at the food longingly, but they can't reach it. And the man thought, this truly is hell. They're starving in the midst of so much bounty. So he goes back up to St. Peter, and he says, well, I saw what I needed to see. I'm ready to come in. St. Peter says, come on in, opens the door, and here's another banquet table identical to the one that was in hell. And there are the same people there, people very much like that, and their arms are in splints as well. But these people are not cadavers. They're happy, and they're full. And he says, I don't understand. Why are these people full? Why are they healthy and happy? And St. Peter says, well, because in heaven we learn to feed each other. You see? We never come to this place alone. Every time you sit down, I remember what one lady told me about communion. She says, you know, I just like it when you just give me the thing and I can just be all kind of by myself. It's me and Jesus. And I said, well, then you need to go someplace else, because this isn't you and Jesus. This is us and Jesus. All of us gathered together, giving thanks, sharing in the joy that is ours with all of us. And people are struggling. I mean, I'm so aware of that. This week has been just a roller coaster, but I'm so thankful for it. I didn't go through it by myself. I knew at any moment I could call, well, anybody and say, listen, can you help me with this? And people would do so. We put on Facebook, Papa is missing, and thousands of people were out looking for him or aware of him or trying to give suggestions. It was an amazing thing. I don't know how in the world we didn't run over him. There were so many people out looking for him in Jacksonville, probably because he was in Hinesville. And did I mention nobody goes to Hinesville? No, it's a great place, actually. It's a beautiful church there. Togetherness. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in unity. In 1863, in the midst of the most devastating war our country has ever experienced, Abraham Lincoln issued this. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and all those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perseverance and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty hand to heal the wounds of our nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. So what are you thankful for? In your prayers this week, do a sweep with a magnet of your heart and then give thanks for all the gold in your life. Do another sweep over the hard times in your life and give thanks to God for the surprising things that you find there. Do a third sweep and give thanks to God for the things of Christ in your life, for Jesus and the Bible, for this church family, and most of all, for the healings and the blessings that we receive from God all the time. Let us pray. Father, as we gather around this table today, it's another banquet table, and we share with each other. We pass one to the other. We feed each other. This is not just me and you. This is us together. And we give thanks from the bottom of our hearts that we can do this. We ask your presence and your power as we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.